and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, February 15th, 2010. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, yesterday was Valentine's Day. I hope you guys are all looking at slews of roses and candies, chocolate things, and, I don't know, teddy bears and all kinds of things from the people who love you most in the world. I had a great day, and I'm here today to kick off another week. If you haven't done so already, head on over to our fan page on Facebook at Indie Business Fans and participate in our roll call. We are all small businesses present and accounted for right there at the fan page. Let us know that you're here and leave a link to your fan page so we can check you out. Well, today's show is sponsored by me. That's right. If you're listening live right now to my show and you want to either join IBN or renew your membership today, you will get 50% off your membership dues. This offer lasts only until midnight tonight, February 15th, 2010. So if you're listening to this show in the archives, it doesn't apply, but you can always tune in another time because you never know when I'll have another special. Go to IndieBeautyNetwork.com and click on the Join link or the Renew link, depending on which category you're in. From the left navigation bar, fill out the application, and you're done. Now, I'm offering this at the last minute, so the cart is not set up to automatically deduct the 50%. Pay the full amount, and I will contact you immediately to refund you the 50% of your membership dues. This offer does not apply to your insurance premium, just to your membership dues. It is a great day to be an indie business owner and an even better day to join IBN. Check it out at IndieBeautyNetwork.com. Okay, so you know me, guys. It's another show about blogging. But before you start rolling your eyes, remember when your mom told you how important it was to sit up straight all those years and you only paid half attention to her, and then you found yourself in an interview hearing your mother in the background telling you to sit up straight, so you sat up straight and you got the job, right? So that's me, the mother in the back of your head, not wanting you and your business to be left behind. That's why I'm doing another show about blogging today, and this one is a doozy. My guest is Rebecca Bolwitz. She is the co-author of Blogging, Create and Maintain Valuable Customer Connections to Drive Your Business. Rebecca has been blogging about her hometown of Vancouver, Canada since 2004, and she's been podcasting since 2005. Her blog is listed as one of Vancouver's leading blogs, and Rebecca Bolwitz is at myth604.com, and her blog has been voted Best Vancouver Blog. In 2008, Rebecca co-founded 64 Media to offer website development and social media consulting services. And she joins us today from her station as a blogger at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver. How fun is that? Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Hi, thank you.
If you're listening at IndieBusinessRadio.com, why not click on the chat link and join us live in the chat room? Post your questions, share your ideas and thoughts about blogging, and we'll be sure to include them on today's show. So, Rebecca, what's going on at the Olympics? Are you having a great time?
I am, yes. The city is pretty much electric right now, especially since Canada won their first gold medal on home soil yesterday, so everyone's really excited.
Well, congratulations to Canada. And you guys, if you're interested in someone who's live blogging the Olympics, check out myth604.com. There's some fantastic audio and video and really beautiful photographs there. So you can get a really good idea of how Rebecca runs her blog. And speaking of that, Rebecca, tell us a little bit about how your business got started and how this whole blogging thing evolved for you.
Certainly. Well, I started off working in the online techie realm in 2000, so about 10 years now. And I originally was doing streaming audio and working for a company that actually moved me over to Boston. So when I was in Boston, I wanted to connect back with my hometown. So I created my email, Miss604, and then I started reading these things called blogs, and I thought, maybe I should try that as well. So I started up Miss604 out on Blogspot blog. And when I moved back, I just thought, you know, I really do like this writing thing, and I want to write a little bit more than what I had for breakfast this morning. So I kind of took it a little more professional in about 2006 and got really involved with the social media community in Vancouver, which was really emerging at the time, and just kept going and doing it every day and finding things that I was passionate to write about. So I love local history, and I cover that quite a bit. And in 2008, I decided to start a company with my husband. So we make WordPress websites for people, for businesses, and I also took my blogging full-time at that time as well.
Great. So it sounds like you have already have a keen interest even before you started blogging in technological things and stuff like that. So what is your introductory advice, Rebecca, for people who are business owners that really just don't have that keen eye for technology or the love for techie things as you described it, as you do?
I think just finding the right people is good. I mean, Twitter's a great connection tool right now. If I have any questions, you know, if you're at any skill level in technology or social media, you can put out a question on Twitter or, you know, just ask the right people, and everyone's very willing to help. And it's all really a kind of a community of sharing information and trying to help one another. So I think Twitter is actually a great tool for businesses right now as well.
Yeah, I really do, in addition to blogging, highly recommend that everyone connect their blog with Twitter in as many ways as you possibly can. So, Rebecca, your business, was it built on a blog, or did you have the business and then add blogging onto it?
Well, I was blogging while I still had a day job for quite a while, and then when I quit my day job and then decided to go full-time with the blog, the blog kind of powers the separate business that I have with my husband. So we started doing WordPress websites, and I guess Miss 604 Drives is kind of the marketing component for my website business. So it kind of lets people know who I am and where I am in the social media community, and then also, oh, hey, I can help you build a website as well. So on our company is 64 Media, we also have a blog on there. And we on there I blog about social media and WordPress specifically. And so Miss 604 is still Vancouver. So I kind of separate the two worlds but use blogging in different ways on each one as they apply to the site.
So let's take a look at let's kind of narrow it down to one of your blogs to kind of use as an example. Whichever one you want, let us know which one makes the most sense for you. And here's my question. I like the way you phrased how you use your blog. You said the blog drives the business. Tell us what you mean by that and use one of your blogs as an example.
Certainly. Well, Miss 604 has quite a bit more reach than my business blog right now. But Miss 604, like I said, it does drive the business blog. On Miss 604, I can write a post about we're going to host a WordPress conference in Vancouver. So I can write that on Miss 604. It goes out to that wider audience. And from there, I can say, you know, I have this WordPress company as well, and my husband and I are going to be organizing the conference. And it just reaches that audience a bit better. And goes out in, you know, Google, so it's very Google searchable, and it goes out to my Twitter, and so Miss 604 really does power that.
So let's talk for a second about people who don't have businesses in the blogging world. How do you advise them to get started, and what do you tell them about why it's so important to have a blog?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is don't be scared. A lot of people are scared. They don't think they have enough time to blog or that they don't know enough about it. And I think just getting started with it, even if your first blog post is, hi, I'm doing this business, and this is my first blog post ever, and I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, but let's learn as we go. Even that is totally fine, because it lets your readers know exactly that, you know, you're trying to get a hold of this blogging thing. And I think taking that first step and engaging your audience and having that personal voice on your business site is just a huge first step that people shouldn't be scared to do.
So, Rebecca, with blogging, I mean, your book says that blogging is an increasingly important part of connecting with customers, as you described it. Now, what you just said was you want to connect with your readers. So tell me a little bit about how a small business owner that has customers can use a blog to connect with readers. And do we now have to consider customers as readers, or is there a difference? Are they one and the same when it comes to your blog? Help us sort that out.
Sure. Well, you have people coming to your main business website, and having the blog element on there serves as kind of your customer service, your tech support, and your marketing all in one. So they're coming to your business website, and then they're also seeing that there's a way to communicate with you, there's a way to get daily news or updates about the product, and it just adds an extra level of connection between you and your current customers and potential customers by having that blog there. So on your blog, you can say, you know, we just launched this product, and people coming to your website previously might have seen that maybe in a press release or something, but in your blog, you can have photos, you can have a video, you can have an interview with, say, a store manager who's putting the product up in the window. And it just adds that extra level of connecting, with your customers who then become your followers. helps you build more of a community around your product and a community around your business.
And we have a listener on Twitter in the chat room here, Rebecca, and he's got a contribution and a sort of a question and a comment to offer. What's your recommendation when it comes to setting up a blog and checking out what other people have done before you? Should you use other people's examples and follow some blogs first? That question comes from John Easton One, and he's on Twitter.
Yep, definitely. I think a big part of blogging is also seeing what other people are blogging about and how they're doing it. And if you like what they're doing, you can do that as well on your site. Or say it's, I was actually working for a company that was a payment gateway, so kind of like a PayPal type service. And mm-hmm. I was going to blog about the payment card industry data security standards, and I had no idea what that was. So I went and looked for other blogs who were already writing about that, and they had YouTube videos, they had some great quotes. So in my own blog, I said, you know, I'm learning about the payment card industry data security standard, and I went to other blogs, and I found this, and I found that, and I would embed their YouTube video and give them credit and link back to them. And that that showed that, you know, I was willing to go out and find the information and share it with my customers and my readers, but also it gave credit to the original source, and they were able to see that in their statistics, in their website statistics. So they could see that I was linking to them. So by them seeing that I was linking to them, they came back and they became a reader of my site as well. So it's kind of this chain link that links everybody together, and I think it's definitely helpful to read other blogs when you're writing a blog so you know how to find your voice, you know how to do linking, you can leave comments, and that kind of helps build a little community as well.
So when you're traveling around the Internet looking at all these blogs, mm-hmm. how do you advise people who sort of get stuck looking at so many blogs that it becomes overwhelming and they feel like they have to do every little thing at every little blog they saw that's in any way similar to them? Just like, can you address the sort of analysis paralysis avoidance issue when it comes to starting a blog?
Sure. I think it's mostly, well, for me, blogging is something I love and it's something I'm passionate about. So if you're passionate, of course, about your business and your product, it will be easy to write about that. And so if you find other people who, if you find a blog that you really enjoy, you really love their voice, you can do the same thing but with your product and with your company on your own website. And you don't need to include everything, and you don't need to get too overwhelmed and think you have to blog five times a day. You know, just keep it as, if you're not having fun and if it's not something that you really want to do and you're passionate about, then it might not work for you. So you really need to find kind of that groove of where you're enjoying promoting your product and reaching out to your customers, and you're also looking around for those other resources on the web that you enjoy reading as well.
Rebecca, I'm putting myself in the position of a listener, and I am definitely passionate about my products, but you know what? I am not passionate about blogging. Tell me, based on your experience serving businesses of all kinds, do I need a blog in order to maximize the success of my business?
I think a blog should be definitely a part of a marketing plan. So if you already have a website, I think adding a blog to it is very, very beneficial. Just in terms of, as I said earlier, that you can have your static website with your about page and your products and where you're located, but having that blog lets people know that you're willing to communicate with them, answer their questions, give them real-time updates on products that are being launched. And you need someone writing that blog who is passionate about the product, because then that voice comes through. So if you have, you can hire an outside blogger as well, but if your car business, if the person doesn't have a license and has never driven a car in their life, they might not be the person you want writing your blog. So you want to find someone who is also passionate about, you know, your industry, but who can also write about it.
So, Rebecca, that is definitely good advice. And for people who already have a website, what about people who are just now starting and they don't have a website? I mean, these days a blog can do so many things. If you're starting your business right now today, should you look at a blog that incorporates e-commerce as opposed to, you know, the traditional kind of website that we all think of?
I think websites, you definitely want to build a Web 2.0 website. I know Web 2.0 is kind of a dying term and we're moving to 3.0 now, but you want to have a website that can incorporates, I'm going to use some jargon here, SEO, which is search engine optimization, and you want to have one that people can log into and they don't need to call their webmaster and wait 3 days for tech support to update their website. You want a website that is an easy-to-manage platform. So things like WordPress or the Joomla and Drupal, these are different types of website builders. They're content management systems. Now if I totally lost you there, you can also go to like WordPress.com or Blogspot.com, and you can build a full website on those free services that don't even look like blogs. They can actually look like websites and have blogging components. But the benefit of those is that, first of all, they're free, and second, they already have a built-in community. So WordPress.com has a great community of people that will help you learn how to write and publish and share information, or even on Blogspot as well.
Excellent advice. Today, Rebecca Bolwich, she's the author or the co-author of Blogging, Create and Maintain Valuable Customer Connections to Drive Your Business. When we come back, we're going to pick Rebecca's brain about marketing. So if we've already embraced the notion of a blog and setting up a blog and using it, as Rebecca described it, to drive the business, and we're going to ask her about that when we come back. This is Donna Maria, your host, Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with Rebecca Bolwich, co-author of Blogging, Create and Maintain Valuable Customer Connections to Drive Business. So, Rebecca, let me ask you this. With blogging becoming increasingly important, as you talked about in the first part of our show, must every small business owner to some extent consider himself or herself a publisher today?
I think so, yes. I think it's just becoming a little bit more involved than taking an ad and putting it in the newspaper. Kind of publishing or promoting your independent business today is more you having your voice and you reaching out to your customers who become readers or readers who become customers. So putting that little update on Twitter or putting that update on your blog about the current thing that you're working on or a sale or a special going on in your store, it's you. Everything's coming directly from you and not necessarily from an ad placement somewhere or yeah.
So and is that valuable? I mean, okay, here's the thing. Like, I'm selling something. I'm not selling blogging services or social media consulting services. I'm selling a product. Maybe it's beauty products or shoes or whatever it is. So I'm obviously serving my customers. When someone buys a product, I want it to function properly. I want it to look the way it looks at the pictures at my website. And so I'm going to produce content at my blog that supports that and have good quality pictures and all that stuff at my website. But are those people also readers? In other words, do I have to serve not only my customers, but also these people called readers when I have a blog?
I think the idea of the blog is to get readers to become customers and customers to become readers, so kind of that two-way thing there. You'll find that if people already love your product, they'll want to know more about it every single day, or you know, they'll want to come back weekly for updates and see if there's an update or see if there's something new going on. And then having that blog and also a comments section for your readers or your customers who are readers allows people who already love what you're doing to communicate with each other and talk about how you know, what they'd like to see or talk about, you know, just how much they love what you're doing. So it's really kind of opening it up to not just you publishing out to people, but also welcoming people to come in, be readers, and learn more about your product and become customers and talk to each other about what they love about what you're doing.
So that's really good. We're having some interesting conversation in the chat room here, too, kind of going back to you know, what we were talking about earlier with people setting up their own WordPress blogs or their own blogger blogs. I wanted your comment on this, and this is John Easton in the chat room kind of having this conversation with us, as you can see as well. I'm curious to know, how do you help people mm-hmm. who have been told, and so many people have been told this, get a blog, all your worries will be over if you get a blog. So they go get a blog, and then they start blogging, and no one comes, and it's just a big time sucker. How can we help people avoid that? I guess by focusing on the business first and not just, you know, setting up a blog. Because let's face it, right? We can all set up a blog. We can hire you and you can make it look beautiful. But if we haven't focused first on the business, the blog is just going to sit there looking nice. How can you help people who haven't embraced how to start a blog yet with the fact that you kind of have to start with those basics? Can you share a little bit about your perspective on that?
Yeah, definitely the business has to come first. And, of course, you need, most small business owners are passionate about their business. And if you talk to most to small business owners as well, and in speaking with them in conversation, they're passionate about their product, about their industry. So it's trying to take that and convert it to an online world so that you'll have a bigger audience, a bigger customer base potentially. So if you already have a website that you've worked on and put a lot of time and energy into, and it's sitting there, it's great, it's got all of your information, you can go to WordPress.com or Blogspot.com, and within 3 minutes, you can have a site set up. Now, to get people to that site, so you're not just speaking to for the sake of publishing, you need to link that from your main website. So on your main website, say, we're on Twitter, we have a blog, and link right to it. And then also mix it in. If you have a newsletter already, put that in the newsletter that we have a blog and here's more updates that you can mm-hmm. get. So it's kind of building in promotion of your blog so that people know that that's where they can go for it and it's a new resource for them.
Right. So do you recommend, really honestly speaking, that people hire someone to help them integrate this nicely designed blog with their business strategy? Because it's really, I just hear a lot of people saying what you just said. I have a blog, welcome to the blog, isn't it great? And it's like, it's this big event when there's a blog. But the strategy and follow-up after that tends to be a little bit confused. Can you help us, embrace the notion that it's not this big event and, you know, off we go to the races with a blog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think speaking to the first part, hiring someone to do it for you, you can definitely do that. You can integrate. If you have a website you love already, you can get someone to build a blog in. So it'll be yourwebsite.com/blog, and the blogging platform will be in there. Or you can go out to one of these free services and then just link to it and promote it. And the thing is, when you're writing a blog, yes, it's a big event. Oh, I just started a blog. But you need to keep on it. So, you know, if it's once a week or it's once a day, just keep writing, and your traffic's not going to come instantly. Just like when you sign up for Twitter, your followers aren't going to come instantly, but it's just okay. That matter of keeping at it and keep doing it and promoting it and just keep writing. Even if when I started, the first reader of my blog was my mom. So it was my mom commenting on every single one of my posts, but you just need to keep at it and keep going with it.
Right. It's funny that you mentioned that. All my family came over to my blog and we're like, oh, this is great, but what is it? Which kind of, you know, makes a really interesting point that as business owners, we need to be savvy about blogging, but we also have to understand that our customers are not. So, I mean, is it safe to say that for many business owners, several of your first posts will be educating your customers about what on earth this blog is and how they can use it to their advantage?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The first couple posts, you could say, here's what I'm planning on writing about. If you don't have an idea or you don't really know what you will be writing about, a good way to start is to have a weekly theme. So, say, every Wednesday I'll post new specials, or every Thursday I'll write about this new product I'm working on, or every Friday I'll feature something else to do with the business. So you can have a set weekly theme, so that not only helps you figure out what to write, but it also gives people something to look forward to and come back and really see what you're trying to do with your blog.
That's such good advice. I remember helping someone start a blog early this year. We worked on it November, December, launched it in January, and I remember last year I kept saying, you know, now don't be surprised when you do all this work and I'm your only commenter for a while. You know, you, your wife, and, you know, your mom, as you say. And about 6 weeks into it, he called me up and he said, you know, you were right. I've been blogging every day, and I'm not getting that many comments. And so, and sure enough, within a couple of weeks after that, it seemed like things really started to pick up. So we have to make sure we emphasize that this is not just a, you know, big thing that starts. It really does take some time to, you know, educate people. And really, the increased comments and increased participation dovetailed, Rebecca, with his reaching out at the blog itself and saying, hey, how can I help you comment? I know you guys are here, because he could tell people were coming there. But he had to actually comment himself and reply to their comments and really create a kind of conversation to make people encouraged to come back, right?
Yes, definitely. A great way to build comments is, you know, engage in comments yourself. So if someone does leave a comment, respond to them so they know it is that kind of two-way communication street. And then also you can ask questions in your posts. So say you have a product that's blue. You can ask, would you guys buy this if it was in yellow? Or what? Or put a poll on your site, what color would you like? And that kind of encourages people who are coming across this and reading it to communicate with you as well.
Right, right. So earlier in the show, Rebecca, you mentioned Web 2.0 and Web 3.0. What were you talking about?
Well, those terms are kind of dying right now. Web 2.0 is kind of the stage that we're in right now, or kind of moving out of right now. It's not just having a website that's there facing the world. It's having that website with a blog and with Twitter and with Facebook where you can have that two-way communication street. So that's 2.0. 3.0 is kind of moving more into mobile and quick updates and kind of on the go communication. So not necessarily getting updates while you're sitting behind a computer, but getting them to your phone or tweeting or blogging on the go.
Okay, so let's talk about Web 2.0 or 2.0. You said it was on its way out. So does that mean that, you know, the nice, meaty blog posts that some of us add to educate people about a particular topic are going to be useless in a year or so?
No, I think just the term is on its way out because it's kind of the web as we know it today. So it's no longer referring to the websites of 1999 where it was just something facing you. It's the websites that we see today and that have been building over the last few years. Web 2.0 kind of started with the MySpace phase, and then it moved to Facebook, and now it's Twitter. And all throughout there, blogging has been building and becoming a bigger part of websites. So now you not only see the static websites, you also see dynamic websites that are on blogging platforms and blogs being showcased a lot more. So that's kind of the progression of Web 2.0, which has just become the web as we know it.
Okay, so when you say 3.0, you're mainly talking about the extension of an existing blog into platforms that make it easy to update the blog while you're not sitting at a computer necessarily.
Yes, and whatever else may start coming our way. People ask me, you know, what's the future now? We had Facebook, and now we have Twitter. Now where is it going to go? And I think through all of this, blogging is kind of that main component that's driving these things as well, especially for business owners. Sure, you have your Facebook page, and there's a great audience on Facebook, but the goal of that should be to bring them back into your website and your blog where you can, you know, add more information and where you actually are the publisher of that content and you own all the images that you post on there. So
right,
all of
right.
the extra little tools are bringing people back into your blog, which is the main focus.
Right. Okay. You know, John Easton is just all over the chat room today, and he posted what I think is a really cool idea. He says, find one business reason to blog that has nothing to do with getting followers. And here's an example. He says, feed educational information to a specific prospect through your blog.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, I kind of do that all the time, but I've never seen it phrased that way before. For someone who's just starting out, it seems like that might be a really cool notion, right? You wouldn't have to say who the prospect or the customer is, but you could use your blog to say what you would tell that particular person, thereby creating something interesting for that particular prospective customer as well as for everyone else who comes there as a potential buyer, right?
Yeah, I think you should definitely have your blog be a resource So even if you have nothing to say about you or your own company, you know, on the day that you want to blog or at the time you want to blog, you can still write about your industry or a client or something that's going on that's still relevant. So say you have, say your winery, you can write about your winery all the time, but you can also just focus on the wine industry, talk about wine regions, talk about how you should probably do a wine tasting, how you should swirl your glass. So having those extra elements and going beyond just talking about yourself the whole time really adds value to a reader.
That's great. And certainly if you have a small business, you should be doing research on the job all the time. So there's really no shortage of things for a small business owner to blog about if they're actually active in a business.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
Okay, so that's a good way to think about that. We're going to take our second break, and we're going to come back and talk some more with Rebecca Bolwit. She is the co-author of Blogging, Create and Maintain Valuable Customer Connections to Drive Business. And when we come back, we're going to be asking her about multimedia blogging. What is that? Why do we care? And do we need to do it? And we're going to ask her about that when we come back. This is Donna Maria, your host, Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here talking to Rebecca Bolwit, the co-author of Blogging, Create and Maintain Valuable Customer Connections to Drive Business. And by the way, I want you to know that you can connect with Rebecca at her blog, www.myth604. Is that the area code for Vancouver, Rebecca?
It is, yes.
That's very, very clever. And Rebecca blogs about Vancouver. And she started her blog because she says she was sort of a techie kind of person. And lo and behold, a few years later, she's invited to blog at the Olympics up there in Vancouver. So when the Olympics come to Charlotte, I'm going to see if I can get a gig like that too, Rebecca. Good luck to me, right. Okay, good luck to Charlotte, actually. Anyway, so your book talks a lot about the basics of blogging. And by the way, for those listening, it's very well laid out. It's not hard to read. It's not a long read. And you can pick one or two chapters in here and get a whole lot out of the book, which you can order from indiebusinessradio.com on the link there. But Rebecca, one of the things I want to talk about before we close out is your definition of multimedia blogging and whether small business owners need to be concerned with that and what exactly that means and how do we do it. I know that's a lot of questions, but what do you mean when you say multimedia blogging as opposed to just blogging?
Well, instead of just having blog posts that are big chunks of text, you can also add in photos and videos. So people love looking at photos, whether it's of your product or of your shop or a view or that's something you're making. So photos just add that extra visual element when people are reading something and it breaks up big chunks of text. But also, if you're uploading photos or video to the web, you can upload them to photos to Flickr, so Flickr.com, or to YouTube, videos to YouTube.com. And so by doing that, you're not only reaching the people on your website that are viewing the embedded photo or the embedded video, you're also reaching the YouTube audience and the Flickr audience. So there's a whole bunch of there's communities on Flickr and communities on YouTube and communities on other video and photo sharing services that will see your video as well that you can link back to your blog. Not only just publishing to your site, but to these other networks as well.
This is a really important point, I think, that you're making. You are talking about killing multiple birds with one stone, right? Which it seems to me is enough of a reason to do it anyway. So you make one video or you make one blog post, and you can put it up at multiple places and continue to get the benefit of it over a period of time.
Yep, definitely. There are people who have put videos on YouTube, and, you know, at the end they'll just say their website address, or in the information or more information part, they'll put their website address. And so people might find them first through YouTube and then discover that they have this product or this website. So it's, yeah, definitely using these other networks to your advantage to bring them back into your home base online.
So when you talk about multimedia, let's talk about, I mean, photos are pretty easy. Everybody can take a picture, and certainly we can all take pictures of our products, which are probably things we love the most to take pictures of and share. And sharing, you know, the manufacturing process, of course, is always interesting. But let's talk for a second about video. How important is video, and how do you help your clients sort of warm up to the idea when they kind of look at you like deer in the headlights and go, I can't do video, you know, my hair's not done or whatever?
Yep, you don't need to be scared of video. It can either be, you know, you don't have to appear in the video. You know, your products can appear in the video, or your business somehow can appear in the video, or you can even do interviews with people. But when I say don't be scared, I mean it doesn't need to be a Hollywood production. You can just pick up, you know, you can use the camera that's on your computer, or you can use a flip video or, you know, a handheld camera, and just do 30-second, 90-second clips. I mean, you might even, if you're not planning on doing full video, like webisodes that are 10 minutes long, these short little clips are actually really popular because it keeps people's attention for that amount of time, and it adds an extra element of an actual visual element to your blog as well. So anyone can produce a little video, but you can also take other people's videos. So if you see something from your industry, or say, I'll just use the wine reference again, so if you're writing about a wine blog and you find a really cool video on YouTube that has to do with wine or your industry, just embed it on your site. So even if it's not a video that you've made, you've embedded this other piece of multimedia that can help the visual aspect of your blog.
So when you're thinking about all this stuff, let's go back to a second to strategy, because we can all pour a bunch of content and copy a lot of videos and stuff like that into our website. What are some of your best suggestions and tips for creating, a strategic approach to this? Like, if someone says, okay, I have an hour and a half every week to maintain this blog once it's set up, what are some things that you would suggest for them, like three times a week, you know, one news story, one political story? I mean, what are some of your suggestions for using that hour and a half as wisely as possible?
I think at least blogging once a week or having a post up once a week is a good idea, because the whole idea of a blog is having something that's dynamic and updated and that people can look forward to coming back and reading. So I think the idea of having a theme is really good. I know the Vancouver Opera has a blog, and every week they have a theme. I think it's on Wednesdays, where they talk about movies that would be good operas. So it kind of helps them plan ahead on their week and, okay, this is what we're going to write about. So it gives them that goal or that schedule. And you can also, let's see, you can dedicate time to responding to comments. So you can kind of break it up. So I'm going to spend this much time writing, this much time responding to comments, and this much time doing some research or putting some photos up, and just putting that little schedule there for yourself, and then making sure it's content that that you like and that you want to write and you want to publish, because that sentiment and that emotion can come through in what you're publishing.
In working with your clients, Rebecca, have you noticed that some of them really start off slowly and it takes a while for them to get their feet underneath them, and then one day or one week this light bulb comes on and everything just starts to move along at an easier and more efficient pace?
Definitely, yes. People are always hesitant and frightened going into the blogging world. You know, I won't have enough time. I don't know what I should be doing here. But once it starts gaining some momentum and they start getting a few more readers or a few more comments, or people are answering questions that they've asked, almost everyone I've spoken to is like, okay, this is awesome. This is the best thing that I've done. You know, I've been able to connect with people. I talked to a woman in New Zealand who just bought my product, and she's sending me her story, and I'm going to put that on the blog. And you really notice that that you really start connecting with people on a much more personal level.
Okay, good. So I mean, does this take a long time for us to feel this way? I mean, I talk to so many people who go, yes, I have a blog, but I have no idea what to do with it or whether anyone's even paying attention or how to make them pay attention. And I just want to share this, and maybe you can too. I started blogging way back before the term blogging was even used, but once it did start to be used, I set up a blog, and I blogged for almost a full year, and I think I got 6 comments the whole time. Now, I don't know if that's a comment on my blogging, probably more than anything else it is, but now I really, you know, I'm on a roll and people comment, I'm having a fantastic time. I don't want everyone to think it's going to take a whole year for you. It did for me. But let's assure everybody that this is kind of normal. Is this kind of what happened to you as well and what happens to your clients, Rebecca?
Yes, definitely. I'd say a year is probably a good time frame, actually, or a realistic time frame for building that audience. But also, I've realized on my site that not everyone comments all the time. If they read something they like, they don't comment. They're just like, oh, yeah, that was good. And they don't leave a comment saying that was good. You know, they just enjoy what they read, and they'll be back the next day to see what's been written. It's kind of like on Twitter, people think, oh, I need to get to 500 followers. But the way I look at value on Twitter is, have I been retweeted? So has someone copied and pasted what I've written and shared it with their audience as well? So I find more value when someone's sharing what they've read or recommending my site to their friends or things like that, not necessarily from comments or just number of followers or number of views. It's kind of that engagement piece, and are people passing it on and are they sharing it as well?
How can we partner with other people who have blogs, Rebecca, to support their blogs while at the same time, I guess, creating more visibility for our own?
There's a whole bunch. I think a big part of blogging is actually meeting people in person. In Vancouver, there's a monthly blogger meetup group, and we get people blogging from anything to knitting and yarn bombing in Vancouver to politics to green issues and then the environment. And even though, you know, none of these topics might have anything in common, we're all bloggers. So the bloggers get together once a month and they have some coffee and everybody just talks about what's working for them, what questions they might have, some issues they're having, and you just get to talk with other bloggers about across industries and just see how they're all dealing with it. So I think having a meetup group in your community, if you're already part of like a business association, having a directory of all the blogs, or meeting up with these people face to face, or just getting on Twitter and getting on your blog and or on other people's blogs and asking questions in the comments, and just really being really communicating with people who are doing it already.
And when you go to these events and you take your camera, right, you're automatically creating some fun content for your blog, right?
Definitely, yeah. If I go to a blogger meetup, I could be written up on 6 different blogs because everyone's saying, I went to the blogger meetup last night, and here's the blogs that the people from the blogs that I met, you know, so-and-so from this environmental blog, or so-and-so from this political blog, or so-and-so from this business blog. So by meeting in person, you can also get exposure on the web because people write about what they've done.
Yeah, you know, I think that's such an important thing. I think so many of us launch a blog, and we know it's important, and we're reaching out to people who have no idea what blogs are. Mm-hmm. But when we go out and we meet with people who do know what they are, then we support each other, and we're also, by default, sort of educating our target audience about what a blog is and how they can benefit from it as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
That's a really good point. And John Easton is busy in the chat room pointing something else out that I think is really important for us to address, and that is, you know, like I said, I only had, you know, this piddly number of comments to my blog after a full year, and he reminds us that, you know, only a tiny percentage of people who actually do pay attention to what you're doing are going to take the time to comment anyway. So you shouldn't necessarily be completely discouraged when after several months we only have a few comments.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my comments aren't that high usually, unless I have a contest, then they're really high. And it's just seeing how people are, you know, if they're coming to your site and if they're sharing your information, if they're bookmarking it, and if they're coming back the next day to see what you're writing, that's a success right there.
Well, and you know, let's talk too about how, you know, sometimes you write a blog post and you think it's the best thing since sliced bread, and not a single person comments, retweets, or pays any attention to it at all. But the beautiful thing about it is, and I know you must have experienced this too, so I'd like your comments, is, you know, I have blog posts that I wrote like 8 months ago, and one person might retweet it, and all of a sudden it's got like 23 or 30 retweets and a bunch of comments all of a sudden, like totally from out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as your readership grows or as people, maybe as Google picks up your search words or things like that, you can definitely even revisit posts that you've written that you've really liked. You can promote them to the front page of your site, or you can post a link on your Facebook or Twitter saying, hey, I wrote this 6 months ago and I know my audience has grown a bit since then, so just wondering if you guys saw this. This is one of my personal favorites. And people are going to be interested in what you really like of what you've written as much as anything else. So if you personally recommend something that you've written, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And it's really great to promote that way.
Can you talk a little bit about podcasting? I know your bio says that you've been podcasting for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what podcasting is and how we can add that into our blogging repertoire.
Sure, yeah. Podcasting, it's pretty much as easy to do as filming a video and putting it on YouTube. There's services for podcasting that are like YouTube, but they're just for audio. So there's a service called Podbean that you can try. So you can either take audio from your phone or a microphone or from your computer, and you can do interviews with people, or you can just sit out in the middle of a park somewhere and record an audio blog post, basically, and upload it to one of those services and embed the audio on your site. And that adds an extra level of just something neat for your readers. So instead of just, you know, photos or and text, they have the audio as well, and they can actually hear your actual voice and not just your written voice.
So one of the things we can do is sort of systematize this, right? Like you can look at a month of 30 days, and you can do, like, two video posts. You can do, three podcasts and, five text posts or photo posts of your products, right? And you can systematize it so that you don't really have to think that much. This is kind of where that publishing mindset comes in, right? Because that's how the publishing industry works. They systematize everything. There's certain days for certain things, and certain inserts go in on certain days, and Monday's this show, and Tuesday's that show. We can sort of borrow that sort of philosophy and apply it to our blogs, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and it really helps those who are kind of scared about time constraints and things like that if they have those set kind of programs or schedules.
Great, great. Fantastic tips today from my guest, Rebecca Bolwitz, co-author of Blogging, Create and Maintain Valuable Customer Connections to Drive Business. Rebecca, tell us how we can connect with you. Where should we go to get more of Rebecca and how to get your book?
Sure. You can go to mystic604.com, and I've got a link there for my book. It's available online, so for Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and in Canada available at Chapters in stores.
Great, and you can also follow Rebecca at Miss604 on Twitter. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been fantastic to have you. I will look forward to you, all of my listeners, next week on my show when my guest will be Hank Moore. He's the author of The Business Tree, Growth Strategies and Tactics for Surviving and Thriving. And, of course, we all want to do that. That's next week. Right here on Indie Business Radio. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.